Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Kuf Yud Tes. We begin the 16th and the final perek of Maseches Yevamos. We are in the home stretch. We conclude the Masechet, God willing, on Thursday. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to cover, again, continuing really in concepts that we have been discussing the past couple of days, really for the past week or so, about a woman who goes to Medina Sayyam, and there is a testimony as to the status of her husband, that her husband died. The question is, what can she do? Can she marry somebody else from the shuk? Can she perform yibum? We're going to see the various circumstances in which she may be able to perform yibum if there was a co-wife who was also married to the same husband. So we know that yibum is only performed when the husband dies without any children. And meaning the husband dies without any children, both from the wife, both from the primary wife, we'll call her, only because she's the one that we're discussing, and from all of the co-wives. So the question is, what happens if the woman goes to Medina Sayyam? What happens if the woman and her husband go to Medina Sayyam and with the tzara, with the co-wife, and she comes back and says, hey, guess what, guys, my husband died, and therefore I can perform yibum with his brother. However, there is a co-wife still sitting out there somewhere. And the question is, do we have to be concerned that the co-wife had a baby? Because if the co-wife either had a baby or will have a baby, then it turns out that she shouldn't perform the mitzvah of yibum because the man, the husband, the deceased husband, will have had offspring. There would be no reason to perform the mitzvah of yibum. We're going to see that this is related to whether we need to be concerned that the woman's mother-in-law, i.e. the husband's mother, actually had another baby. Because if when the woman goes with her husband to Medina Sayyam, the husband doesn't have a brother, then it's pashut that there is no mitzvah of yibum because there's no brother to perform the mitzvah of yibum with. The question is, do we need to be concerned? And therefore, of course, she could marry anybody in the world when her husband dies. The question is, do we have to be afraid that her mother-in-law may have had another son, and there may be a chiyuv of yibum with the other son? And we're going to see why we may be afraid for one of these circumstances. In other words, we may be afraid that the tzara will have a kid, but we're not going to be afraid that the mother-in-law will actually have another yavam. So the Gemara will explain why we may be concerned for one, but not for the other. And that discussion is going to take us until pretty much the middle of Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. And then we're going to encounter a mission on Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, which is going to talk about where you have two Yevamos, and each one of them says that their husband died, whether they're allowed to marry out, whether they're allowed to marry anybody from the shuk, or whether they're bound for yibum, and why it would be that they would be bound for yibum. But again, the fundamental principles, and the cases are a little bit confusing, but the fundamental principles we're already well familiar with which are, again, that a woman who testifies alone is believed to say that her husband is dead. That we already have seen for the past week is because of takanas agunos. And what we have also seen, we saw this Mishnah a couple of days ago on Shabbos, is that there are certain women who are not believed to testify on the other. So for example, a co-wife is not believed to testify on her co-wife, and therefore we discredit her testimony. The wife of a brother is not believed to testify about the brother. So we're going to see how all of this fits in to the various cases that the Mishnah is going to introduce us to. So again, Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, all the way up at the top. Mishnah at the beginning of the 16th and final perek of Maseches Yevamos. Says the Mishnah, Ha'isha shahalach ba'le v'tzaras l'medina sayam. You have a woman who goes with her husband and her co-wife and her tzara to the Medina Sayyam. Ubav yamrula meiz balech. And they come and they say, your husband died. Loti nase velotis yabim. She cannot get married to anybody from the shuk, nor can she perform yibum. Ad sheteda shema muberes hi tzarasa. Until she ascertains whether the tzara is pregnant. Now, we're going to explain in the Gemara what it means when it says hi tzarasa. This is a very interesting language because really what the Mishnah should be telling us is that the woman is not allowed to perform yibum, which again is predicated on the fact that the husband has died without any children, until we ascertain whether the tzara has had any children. So why doesn't the Mishnah simply say shema mu beres tzarasa? what's the lashon of hitzarasa? So we're going to be medayik that lashon in the Gemara. So stay tuned. So haisalach chamos, if she had a mother-in-law, then ein choshesh. Then we're not going to be afraid that the mother-in-law gave birth to another son, and therefore there really is a yavam in the world who she should perform yibam with, as Rashi explains. If she had a mother-in-law, and when the woman and her husband and the tzara went to Medina Sayyam, the mother-in-law didn't have any other sons. Vein yavam lazu, and therefore there is no yavam to perform yibam with. We're not afraid that maybe the mother-in-law gave birth to another son, and maybe there is in actuality a yavam. Says Rashi, well, hang on a second. We just said that if the woman goes to Medina Sayyam with her co-wife, with the tzara, then we are afraid that maybe the tzara has a baby, because we have to wait until we ascertain whether the tzara is pregnant before we see whether we're going to allow her to do yibam. Obviously, therefore, we are afraid that people are, well, afraid is probably the wrong word, but we do need to be concerned that people are going to have babies. So why are we afraid, why are we concerned that the tzara is going to have a baby, but we are not concerned that the mother-in-law is going to have a baby? So it says Rashi, Hasamu dechol ma deyolda tzara bein zachar bein akeva mafik la laha miyavam. Because over there, by the tzara, no matter what child the tzara has, whether she has a boy, whether she has a girl, she is going to take the primary wife out of the mitzvah of yibam, because there is simply no mitzvah of yibam if the husband has any offspring. Avol chamos dinami yolda lo zakik la lahach elim ken yolda zachar v'kuli aylo chashinan shem yolda v'zachari. However, by the mother-in-law, again, it's not enough that the mother-in-law have a baby, so we're not simply concerned that the mother-in-law has a baby. What we need to be concerned with is that the mother-in-law is going to have a baby boy, and we're going to see that having a baby boy is actually a miut. And therefore, even though we do need to concern ourselves, maybe the tzara had a baby, because any type of baby that the tzara may have would disqualify the wife from yibam. By chamos, by the mother-in-law, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid that maybe they'll have a baby, that maybe she'll have a baby, because the only time we need to be afraid is if she actually has a baby boy. Says the Gemara, Yatsa Malaya. However, let's say they took this like weird type of road trip where it was the man, the woman, it was the husband, the wife, and the mother-in-law. However, when the mother-in-law left on the trip, the mother-in-law was actually pregnant. So Yatsa Malaya, if the mother-in-law was pregnant when they left, then Choshesh. Then we do have to be afraid that maybe she had a baby, and she had a baby boy, and maybe there was a Yavam. Because even if we're ordinarily not going to concern ourselves with this possibility, with this potential, if we know that she was pregnant, then of course we have to concern ourselves. Rav Yeshua Amar Eina Choshesh. And Rav Yeshua says that we don't have to be afraid. And it's Eina Choshesh because, says Rashi, we're going to play the odds. The Ikalameimar Shema Yipila, Vimtim Salomar Lo Yipila, Shema Nekeba Isa. Because it could be that maybe she had a miscarriage, and it could be that even if she didn't have a miscarriage, maybe she had an Akeva. So again, the odds are that if the basic odds, the probabilities are that even if the mother-in-law is pregnant, she is not going to give birth to a yavam, because maybe she's not going to give birth at all, and even if she gives birth, maybe she's going to give birth to a baby girl. Whereas by yitzara, the odds are that she will give birth, because most women do give birth at least once in their life, and whether she gives birth to a zachar or whether she gives birth to an akeva, it's going to disqualify the wife from doing yivam. Says the Gemara now. So my hitzarasa. So the Gemara is going to pick up on a weird lashon in the Mishnah that we already highlighted when we read the Mishnah. It said that if the woman and her baal and her tzara went to Medina Sayyam and they said that your husband dies, so she has to wait until we ascertain shema mubares Heed sarasa. So what does that mean? It should just say shemun beres sarasa. So my heed sarasa. Kamash malon lahot saru dechashinan avolat sarachrite lo chashinan. That what it means is if we know for sure that there were three people involved in this relationship, it was the husband, it was wife one, and it was wife two. So if they come to wife one and say your husband died, so whether she can perform, whether she can go marry anybody in the shuk, or whether she needs to wait to see if she needs to perform yibam, is going to depend only on whether wife two is pregnant. And we have to be concerned with the tzara that we know. we don't have to be concerned, oh, maybe in Medina Sayyam he married other women, and maybe those other women may be pregnant, and if those other women who may be pregnant may have a child, then she is not going to be able to, and she's not going to perform Yibam. When we're ascertaining whether she's eligible to perform Yibam, all we have to do is concern ourselves with regard to the Tzara that we know. We don't have to concern ourselves with regard to the Tzara that we don't know. So says the Gemara, what the Mishnah told us was loti nase velo tisyabem. It says that she can't get married to the shuk, nor can she marry, nor can she perform yibum, because we need to first figure out what the status is with the tzara. So says the Gemara, well, bishlama yibumi lo the dilma miavra v'kapaga be'eshes ach daraisa. I understand she can't perform Yibam, because Yibam is a very, very serious Isser. If it's not, in other words, if she has relations with her husband's brother, that's Arayus, which is Asur Min HaTorah, unless it's Makam Yibam, unless it's a situation of Yibam. So, of course, we're not going to let her perform Yibam if we're nervous that maybe the Tzara had a baby, because it's a very, very big risk, because the risk, the downside is she is going to be Pogeya in an erva midaraisa. Ella loti nase amai, but why don't we let her get married to stam a person from the shuk? What's the downside? Halach acha rov nashim. Let's play the odds. Let's follow rov nashim. Verov nashim is abros v'yoldos, and most women eventually become pregnant, and they eventually have babies. So if most women are eventually going to become pregnant and have babies, so we can almost assume, says the Gemara, that the Tzara is going to have a baby, and if we're going to assume that Tzara is going to have a baby, that's going to render her ineligible for Yibam. So let's let her get married to stam a person from the Shuk. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara must be talking about where the Tzara has been married to the husband for fewer than 10 years, because the Gemara elsewhere tells us that we do have a chazaka that women will get pregnant and give birth, but that's only in the first 10 years of marriage. If they're already married more than 10 years and they haven't yet had children, Rachmana Litzlan, then we have to assume that something is wrong and that they may not ever have children. So this whole idea, this whole concept that the Gemara brings down now, that why don't we just assume that she's going to get pregnant and have a baby, because that's what women do, we're only entitled to make that assumption if it's within the first 10 years of their marriage. However, again, if they've been married for longer than 10 years, they already have established an unfortunate track record, then we are not going to play the odds. We're not going to assume that this woman is just going to get pregnant and have a baby. So says the Gemara, but again, the question is, why can't she marry anybody from the shuk? Why don't we just assume that the tzara is going to be like most women, and most women get pregnant and have babies? Says the Gemara, Lema Rav Meir hi dechayish lemiyuta. So Elamai, our Mishnah must be going like Rav Meir, who's afraid for the minority, who's afraid for the miyut. What's the case of Rav Meir chayish lemiyuta? So Rashi brings down the case of Maseches Chulin, where Rav Meir was gozer on all kutim, because there were some kutim that were ovdei avodah zara. And even though the number of kutim, the percentage of kutim who were ovdei avodah zara was only a minority, we have to be afraid that all kutim may be ovdei avodah zara, because Rav Meir is chayish lemiyut. So if our Mishnah says that she can't get married to somebody from the shuk because we're afraid that maybe she's going to fall for Yibam, we must be going like Rav Meir, who's afraid for the minority, because the majority of women have babies, and the majority of women get pregnant and have babies. And therefore, if we're afraid, if we're going to lock her in to the state of limbo because we're afraid that maybe there won't be a baby, so we're obviously going like Rav Meir, who's afraid for the miyut, who's chayish lemiyuta. Says the Gemara, no, afilu temer Rabbanan, even according to the Rabbanan, who are holich basar rov, we are going to have to be afraid here. Why? Because ki azli Rabbanan basar ruba, when do the Rabbanan go after the rov? That's ruba disa kaman. That's only a rov which is in front of us. What's a rov that's in front of us? So the classic case of rov in the Gemara that the Gemara is going to mention now, but this appears all over Shas, is Kagon Tesha Chanuyos, like the situation of Tesha Chanuyos, where you have 10 stores, 9 of them sell basar kosher, 1 of them sells basar nevela, and you find a piece of meat, then we assume that kol deparish meruba parish, that whatever we find in front of us now came from the rove, and we're entitled to rely on the rove. But the only time the Rabbanan are holchem basa rov is when the rov is right there. In other words, the stores, the 10 stores on Central Avenue, with the one, if there still is one store that sells not kosher food, those stores are right here. So that's considered a ruba disa kamon. When everything is laid out in front of us, then we can follow the rov. Or, says the Gemara, the Sanhedrin, or Sanhedrin. What's Sanhedrin? So Sanhedrin, of course, we know that you have a Sanhedrin of 23 judges, and if there's a 12 to 11 decision, we follow the rov. So the Pasuk in Chumash tells us that we follow the rov. It's Achrei Rabim La'atos. So we're going to follow the rov by Sanhedrin. But again, the Sanhedrin is a ruba d'isa kaman. It's a rov that's in front of us because all of the judges are sitting in front of us. We can count heads. We know that it's a 12 to 11 vote or a 13 to 10 vote, whatever it is. So in that situation, we follow the rov. Aval ruba d'lesa kaman lo azli rabanan basar ruba. However, by a ruba d'lesa kaman, which is this case, because the tzara is not in front of us, number one. And what we're saying is, well, the tzara must be like rove women, and rove women get pregnant and give birth. So rove women in the world are not in front of us. So again, the chachamim will only follow the rove when the rove is, it's objective. It's right here. You're able to certify the rove. However, when we're talking more conceptual rove, then the rabbanon maybe wouldn't follow the rove. Says the Gemara, interesting diuk, but it's not true. Why? Because vare katan miktana, because by a katan and miktana is the ruba de lesa kaman, he is a ruba de lesa kaman. It's a rove which is not in front of us. It's more of a conceptual type of rove. Vazli rabbanan basaruba, and the rabbanan do follow rove. What are we talking about? Titania, like we see in the brisa. Katan viktana lo cholzin v'lo miyavmin divrei Reb Meir. So Reb Meir says that a katan and a ktana are not allowed to perform chalitza or yibam. So Amr lo the Reb Meir, so the Chachamim said to Reb Meir, Yafar amrit shein cholzin. You are correct. You're absolutely correct that they cannot perform chalitza. Why? Because ish kasiv b'parsha, because it says in the pasuk ish that you have to be a grown man, you have to be an adult in order to do chalitza. Umakshinan isha le'ish, and we compare the woman to the man, so they both have to be adults. Elamatamin miyavmin, but why can they not perform yibum? So Amr lahem, so Reb Meir said, well, they can't perform yibum because I'm afraid that there might be an erva. Why would there be an erva? It's a situation where the yibum is appropriate. So says Reb Meir, katan shemayim sasaris, because the katan we're afraid that maybe is a saris, maybe he's unable to have children. Ktana shematim sa islandis, a ktana, maybe she's going to be an islandis, maybe she's unable to have children. Venimtsu pogim be'erva, and it's going to turn out that they've engaged in this relationship, which ordinarily speaking would be usur, is mutter only because the purpose of the relationship is lahakim shem la'achiv, but these kids cannot be makim shem la'achiv because the man or the woman may be unable to have or to sire children, and therefore they're not allowed to perform yibum. So says the Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan say no, even though the Katan and the Ktana cannot perform Chalitza, because you're right, by Chalitza we have a drasha in the Psukim that they have to be adults. However, they can perform Yibam, because Zil Basar Ruva, Tiktanim, you follow the Rove of the Ktanim, Verov Ktanim Lav Srisininu, and most Ktanim are not Srisin, and Zil Basar Ruva Tiktanos, Zil Basar Rove Tiktanos, and follow Rove of Ktanos, and Rove Ktanos Lav Islandis Ninu. And most Ktanos are not islandists either. And therefore, what do we see? So the Chachamim are therefore going to say that this Katan and the Ktana can perform Yibam. We're not afraid that maybe they're going to be Pogea Be'erva because maybe they're a Sris or an islandist. Because most children grow up to be healthy adults, and therefore most children are not going to be Sris and an islandist. And therefore, we're going to let them perform Yibam. This rove of most children, the children aren't all, most children in the world aren't in front of us, so this is very much a conceptual rove. And the conceptual rove is that most children grow up to be healthy adults, and the Rabbanan follow the conceptual rove. So if the Rabbanan are going to follow even a conceptual rove, it's not only a ruba de isa kaman, it's even a ruba de lesa kaman. So the question is, why don't they follow the conceptual rove here? Let the woman get married to stop anybody from the shuk, because most times the tsara, the co-wife, will have a baby, because most women have babies. So why don't we follow the rove? Says the Gemara, Elamach Vartamas Nisan Rameyorhi. So you're right. So the Mishnah cannot be talking about, it cannot be within the sheets of the Chachamim, The Mishnah must be going within the Shita of Rav Meir, because our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, is one who is Chayshinon Lemiyat. It's Chayish for the Miyat that there is a minority of women who will never have children, and therefore maybe she will eventually have to perform Yibam, and that's why we're not going to let her marry out, because then there's an Isser Lav of Lasiya Eishes Hameis Lechutz. Okay, so says Lechutz Elish Zar. So says the Gemara, so B'mayu Kimta K'Rav Meir, but now you're establishing it like Rav Meir. But there were two cases in the Mishnah, one involving the Tzara having a baby, and one involving the mother-in-law having another baby, who would have been a Yavam to the woman whose husband died in Medina Sayyam. So says the Gemara, that the B'mayu Kimta K'Rav Meir, so we've now established the Mishnah like Rav Meir, but Ema Seifa, but check out the end of the Mishnah. Ha'isova Chamos, if she had a mother-in-law, Ena Choshesheshes, that then we're not afraid that maybe the mother-in-law had a baby, Amai, but why not? Halachacha Rov Nashim, why don't we follow Rov Nashim? Verov Nashim is Abros, and most women get pregnant, Vyoldos, and they have babies. Miut mapilos, they a miut of them are have miscarriages. Vachola yoldos mechzas charam mechzanekevos, and women who do give birth, in other words, all viable pregnancies where there is not a miscarriage, 50% of them result in a boy being born, 50% of them result in a girl being born. Samach miuta de mapilos lamechzanekevos. So you add the miut of mapilos to the 50% of nekevos that are going to be born. And then the scharim are going to be a miut. So in other words, the way we explain the seifa of the Mishnah, why we're not afraid that the mother-in-law gave birth to a son, and therefore this woman has a yavam, even though we didn't know that she had a yavam beforehand, is because it's only in miut of times where the mother-in-law could have given birth to a yavam, because a miut of pregnancies result in a miscarriage. 50% of pregnancies result in a girl. So it's only a minority of all pregnancies that result in a boy, and therefore we don't have to be afraid. Wait, but if you said that we're afraid for the Shita of Rav Meir, that the Mishnah is like Rav Meir is the one who's Chayish Lemiyuta, so why aren't we afraid over here, according to the Shita of Rav Meir, that maybe the mother-in-law is going to have a baby boy? It's a miut, but we're in the Shita of Rav Meir, who's Choshesh Lemiyuta. Says the Gemara, Kivan di Chaz Kolashuk lo Chayish, because there is also a Chazaka that she is mutter to marry outside, because the Chazaka when she left was that the mother-in-law didn't have another child. So in other words, Rav Meir is going to be afraid, he's going to be choshesh lemiyot, but when there is a chazaka that is contrary to the miyot, when there's a chazaka that counteracts, that contradicts the miyot, he's not going to be choshesh lemiyot. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that Rav Meir being choshesh lemiyot is not an absolute. Rav Meir, he's only chayish for the miyot when the miyot and the chazaka are on the same side. When we have a chazaka that counters the miyot, then we're not going to be choshesh. So Reisha de chazka liyibam. So in the Reisha of the Mishnah, however, where there is a chazaka that she's roi for yibam, because when she went to Medina Sayyam with her husband and her tzara, the tzara didn't have any babies, and therefore the husband didn't have any offspring, and therefore when he died, there should have been a yibam. So in the Reisha, there is a chazaka that she should do yibam. Tisyabem, why doesn't she do yibam? So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rabba Baravua. So you're right. So Reisha, the Isser Kares, Chashashu. So the by Reisha, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, where we're going to say, if we're not going to rely on Rove and let her get married out to the Shuk, meaning we're relying on the Miyat, we're relying on maybe the Tzara is not going to have any kids. But if we're going to be afraid, maybe the Tzara is not going to have any kids, so then why don't we just let her do Yibam? So says the Gemara, well, we have to be very careful, because if we're wrong, if we guessed wrong, and really the Tzara is going to have any kids, if the Tzara is going to have any children, then what's she doing? She is sleeping with her husband's brother, and that is erva. That's an Isser Kares. Says the Gemara, so Reisha d'Isser Kares Chashashu. Seifa, however, in the Seifa of the Mishnah, the Isser Lav, where the only question is, whether if she gets married to somebody from the shuk, instead of waiting to see whether the mother-in-law had another son and there is another yavam, okay, so there's an iser lav, so lo chashashu. So therefore, we're not going to be afraid. And therefore, Rav Meir, in other words, we're going to be somech on the miyut in the seifa to allow, in other words, we're not going to be afraid on the miyut in the seifa and we're going to allow her to marry out. But in the Reisha, we're not going to be somech on the miyut to the extent that we're going to let her perform yibam, because we're not going to be so confident in relying on the miyut if we are going to risk in Isser Kares. It says the Gemara, you're making up a hierarchy of Isurim. Isser Kares, Isser Lav, but they're both Isurim Daraisa. Both the erva of not being able to sleep with your husband's brother, except for a case of yibam, and the iser where there is a situation of yibam to marry somebody other than the yavam, they're both written in the Torah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Michti, Hadaraisa, Vadaraisa, Mali Isser Kares and Mali Isser Lav. What does it make a difference whether it's an Isser Kares or it's an Isser or it's an Isser Lav? Rashi points out, Milo Bina Lamechesh Lasafik Isser Lav, Kiechet Hashina Lasafik Isser Kares. Don't I have to be afraid for violating a Safik Isser Lav the same way I have to be afraid for violating a Safik Isser Kares? Hamidi the Sveika, Lavar Chaka the Rabbanan he. Bedavar amutar, the name of lakaris avid archaka, lelavlo avid archaka. When can I distinguish between Isser Kares and an Isser Lav, says Rashi? That's only if the Rabbanan are going to make a gzera. So the Rabbanan are going to make a gzera atu a archaka. They're going to make archaka to make sure I don't come to violate an Isser Daraisa. So when the Rabbanan figure out which gzeras to make, the Rabbanan have the power to make a gzera to prevent me from doing something that if I violated the Isser Daraisa, it would be a really bad Isser Daraisa, an Isser Kares. But if to make archaka so that I don't violate an Isser Lav, that they're not going to do. But that's only by Gzeiras Rabbanan where I can distinguish between an Isser Kares and an Isser Lav. B'davra Mutter, Da'acha, Shemi Yisuri Daraisa, Mamish Kavid. However, over here, this is not our Chaka, there's an Isser. In other words, we are trying to figure out, are we going to be so confident that we are going to rely on Miyot in order to either let her do Yibam or let her marry out to the Shuk? No matter what we do, we are risking violating an Isser Daraisa. This isn't a Gzeira Darabanan. We're talking about on a Daraisa level. What can we do? So when we're talking about Gzeiras Darabanan, says Rashi, explaining the Gemara, we could distinguish between Kares and Alav. However, if we're talking about allowing her to do an act which would violate a potential Isser Daraisa, so all Isurim Daraisa have to be taken very, very seriously with the same degree of stringency. So how could you let her marry out to the Shuk? Maybe the mother-in-law would have had another baby, and that other baby would be a yavam, and so maybe she actually has to do yibam. And if you're going to say no, because it's only the miyut, and therefore we're not afraid, but if Rav Meir is afraid for a miyut, he should be afraid for a miyut here. He should put his foot down and say, no, don't marry anybody from the shuk, because it's a potential isser midaraisa, even though it's only an isser lav. Says the Gemara, Elam Arava, Reisha, Chazaka liyibam. By Reisha, the Chazaka is that she has to do yibam, because again, when she, the husband and the tzara left, the tzara and she did not have any children, and therefore the Chazaka was that she is fit for yibam. Veruba lashuk. However, Rove tells us that she can marry out. Why? Because Rove women, the tzara is a woman, and Rove women ultimately have babies, and therefore the Rove is that she should be allowed to marry out, and she doesn't perform the mitzvah of Yibam. The Chazaka lo adif ki ruba. However, Chazaka is not going to be as strong as a Rove, and therefore va'aisa miyuta demapilo samach lechazaka, and the miyut of miscarriages is going to add to the Chazaka, vavale palgo palga. So ordinarily speaking, says the Gemara, the way we set it up is we have a Chazaka that she does Yibam, we have a Rove that she doesn't do Yibam. However, there is a miyut of women, even though Rove women do get pregnant, there's a miyut of pregnancies that wind up in a miscarriage. So we add that miyut that maybe the woman is going to miscarry to the Chazaka that the woman right now, that the wife right now is standing to do Yibam, and you have you have a Chazaka and a miyut, vavale palgo palga. And so therefore the Chazaka plus the miyut on the one hand, neged the Rove on the other hand, that winds up being a palgal palga. That basically makes it into a 50-50, says the Gemara. And therefore, loti nosei velotis yabe. Therefore, we're stuck. Like the Mishnah had said, She can't perform Yibam. She can't get married out to the Shuk. Because it's not a simple Chazaka versus a Rov. It's a Chazaka plus a Miyot neged the Rov. Therefore, lo tinasei velo tisyabim. Seifa Chazaka l'Shuk. However, in the Seifa, the Chazaka is that she could get married to whomever because the mother-in-law didn't have any children when they left to Medina Sayyam. Veruba l'Shuk. And also the Rov tells us that she's allowed to go, that she's allowed to get married to anybody, because again, even if the mother-in-law had a baby, most pregnancies wind up with girls, because a miyot of them wind up in miscarriage. 50% of the viable pregnancies wind up with a girl being born. Vavile zcharim miyuta de miyuta, and therefore zcharim is a miyot of a miyot, a miyuta de miyuta lo chayish Rav Meir, and Rav Meir is only chayish for a miyot, but not for a miyot of a miyot. So the way the dust settles, what the Gemara winds up saying is, in the Reisha, how come we don't let her perform yibam? How come we don't let her perform yibam, and we don't let her marry out to the shuk? Is because we're holding Rav Meir is chayish for the miyot. And even though most women have babies, and therefore we should allow her to marry out to the shuk, there's a miyot of women who don't have babies, and we have to be afraid that this woman's in the miyot of women, and therefore she cannot marry out to the shuk. We have to wait to see whether she can perform yibam. We can't let her perform yibam right away, because that potentially is a violation of an iser erva, an iser kares. Therefore, we have to wait to see if she's pregnant. Okay, good. However, by the seifa of the Mishnah, when the mother-in-law doesn't have any offspring, so over there, Rav Meir will say that we allow her to marry out into the shuk. Why don't we have to be afraid that the woman is going to have a yavam? So we answered, because Rav Meir is only chayish lamiyut. However, Rav Meir is not chayish of a miyut, a miyuta de miyuta. And this is a miyuta de miyuta, and therefore we are not going to be choshesh in the Seifa. Says the Gemara, lo tinasei velo tisyabim, that she cannot marry out into the shuk, nor can she do yibam. So says the Gemara, liolam amar ziri la'atzma shlosha chadashim, that for herself she has to wait 3 months. This is the 3 months for havchana that we've seen earlier in the Masechta, that a woman in between marriages has to wait 3 months before she gets married or before she gets engaged again. That's in order to crystallize and to clarify the yichus. We need to make sure that we know whether offspring is offspring of the first husband or offspring of the second husband. So says the Gemara, Amar Ziri, La'atzma Shlosha Chadashim L'Kavrata Tisha. And for her friend, she has to wait 9 months. In other words, Rashi explains, B'shvil Chavrata, Shema Muberes, Yitzharasa, Tzricha L'Amten, Tes Chadashim. We have to wait 9 months. Shafilu Cholza, even if she got Chalitza, Lo Tinosi B'toch Tes, she shouldn't get married until after 9 months. Shema Chavrata Muberes, maybe her Tzara is going to be pregnant, Va'avlad Shel Kayama, and the Vlad will be a Vlad Shel Kayama, Vein Chalitza Poteres Lazu, El Avlad Poter, Va'avlad Ina Poter, Ashatetzi Lavir Olam. So Rashi explains, the reason that you have to wait 9 months for the Tzara is because even if you get like a protective chalitza to permit her to marry out to the shuk, if it ultimately turns out that the Tzara has a baby, so what's going to actually permit her to marry out to the shuk? Is it the protective chalitza, or is it the Tzara having a baby? So no, it's the Tzara having a baby. The chalitza was meaningless because there was never a siba for chalitza. Chalitza only applies when there's an opportunity for yibam. Here there was no opportunity because it wound up that she had a baby. When did she have a baby? She had a baby after 9 months. The baby only allows her to marry out to the shuk when the baby is born, and therefore we have to wait 9 months, lest you think that it was the chalitza that potered her and not the birth of the baby. Therefore, you have to wait 9 months according to Ziri. However, you have to get chalitza Mamanafshach, because maybe the Tzara will never have a baby, and therefore she will require this chalitza. Rabbi Chanina Omer la'atzma shlosha la'kavrta li'olam v'tachlos mimanafshach. That for her, she has to wait 3 months for avchana. For her chavrta, she has to wait forever. In other words, Rashi says, until we know whether she ever has a baby or not. However, after 9 months, she should do chalitza memanafshach. Why? Because if the tzara will eventually have a baby, then she will be mutter to marry to the shuk when the tzara has a baby. And if not, she will have gotten this chalitza. So why doesn't she get the chalitza anyway after 9 months, says the Gemara? So Abaye Baravin, Rav Kanina Baravin, Amri Tabayu, Gzeira Shamiyeh, Vlad Ben Kayam. Adama, because maybe the Tzara will ultimately have a baby. V'nimtzata matzricha kruz l'kuhuna. And we're going to require an announcement for kuna. What does that mean? So what it means is, if the woman gets a chalitza, and then also her co-wife winds up having a baby, then the reason that this woman is allowed to marry out to the shuk is not because of the chalitza that she did, it's because the co-wife had a baby. In fact, the chalitza that she did is meaningless, because again, chalitza only has effect when there's a situation of yibam. Here there was no situation of yibam because the woman wound up having a baby. Now, what do we know about a chalutza? A chalutza is usher to marry a kohen. However, this woman, is she mutter to marry a kohen or not? Says the Gemara, yes, this woman is permitted to marry a kohen because the chalitza that she got was never a valid chalitza. So you're going to ask, v'taklos memanavshach, you're going to ask me, she should just perform chalitza memanavshach, it's a throwaway. The answer is, it's not a throwaway, because once she performs chalitza, we're going to say that she's usher to marry a kohen. Says the Gemara, Velitzrucha. Okay, so just announced that this chalitza was an invalid chalitza, and therefore, if you see her marrying a kohen, you should just know that the reason that she's allowed to marry the kohen is because the chalitza was never a valid chalitza. Says the Gemara, Dilma Ika Davi Bechalitza Velavi Bachraza Va'amri Kasharu Chalitza LaKohen, because there are some people who are going to be there for the chalitza, they're not going to be there for the achraza, and they're going to assume that a chalitza is allowed to marry a kohen. Okay, so it's not. Now we have another case over here. Says the Mishnah, Nitin Li Ben Medina Sayyam. If the woman says that I had a child in the Medina Sayyam, V'amra meis bini, and she said that my son died, v'achar kach bali, and after that my husband died, meaning I am eligible to perform yibum nemenes. Then she's believed. Why? Because the chazaka when she left was that she had to perform yibum. Meis bali, v'achar kach meis bini, if however my husband died first and then my son died, ain't a nemenes, she's not believed because that's against the chazaka. V'choshin l'davera, however we're choshes, v'cholzim v'cholatzes v'lomis yabemes, and she performs chalitza, but not yibam. V'leichash dilma aso edim v'amrei kadaka amrei v'nimtza acha ata machriza kruz lakuna. Aye, but why do we say that she performs chalitza? Why don't we have to be afraid that maybe it actually happened like she said it happened, meaning that first her husband died, then her son died, meaning that she never required chalitza, and you're going to require an announcement for kuna. So the reason that we're not afraid for the fake chalitza over there and that we're going to require an announcement for the kuna is because the woman was previously divorced. Because the woman was previously divorced, it turns out she was usher to marry a kohen anyway. Because over there in that case, Rashi explains, what she says was, we were in a cave, meaning we were totally secluded. There's never going to be an aide who's going to come and say, oh, it actually happened like you said, and that really your husband died first, then your son died, and so the chalitza was an invalid chalitza. So when you're asking me, why aren't we afraid that people are going to ultimately testify about the chalitza, and that therefore they're going to assume that the kohen is allowed to marry a chalutz. So the reason is because we don't have to be afraid of edim, because we know that's a situation where there could never be a dus around what happened over here. Okay, that concludes the Gemara. Let's learn the next Mishnah. We probably won't start the Gemara today, but let's at least get through the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Yevamos. You have two Yevamos. In other words, Rashi explains, these are Neshei Shnei Achen. These are the wives of two brothers. So you have these two Yevamos, Zuomeres Meis Baili, the Zuomeres Meis Baili. This one says, my husband died, and this one says, my husband died. Now, are they allowed to perform, are they allowed to go marry out into the shuk? So Zu Asurim Ne Bala Shel Zeh, Vizu Asurim Ne Bala Shel Zu. So each one is not allowed to marry out into the shuk because we're afraid that the husband of the other is still alive. Why are we afraid that the husband of the other is still alive? They both testify that the husband is dead. So we need Rashi. So Rashi says, so zu asura l'shuk b'mnei baila shel zu, shehu yevama d'shema chayu v'skukalo, maybe he's alive, and maybe she's zakuk to him, v'yafal pi sheshto ameres meis, and even though the guy's wife said that he died, in an amenes ayivimta shetinose alpia, this is one of the five cases in the Mishnah that we saw on Shabbos where the woman's testimony is not believed. believed. She's not believed to testify on her Yavama. Shein Yavama Me'ida Al Chavrita, because a Yavama cannot be made on her on a fellow Yavama. She Echas Mechamisha Nashem Shein Amenes Le'ida, because it's one of the five women where you're not believed to testify. Why? Because generally these Yavamos don't like each other. Why don't they like each other? Because they know that if their husband dies, then the other wife is going to wind up with the husband. And therefore, it's like a pre-contentious relationship. And so therefore, you have this weird situation where they each say that their husband died. So their husband's fine. They're dead. Can they marry out to the shuk? No, because the testimony of each woman that her husband died doesn't let the Yavama marry out to the shuk, because we're afraid that the woman is going to lie in order to cause her Yavama to do an Isser and marry out into the shuk. However, Lazu Edim, Lazu Ein Edim, let's say one of them has Edim that the husband died, the other does not have Edim that the husband died. So as Sheyeshla Edim Asura, the one who has Edim is going to be Usser. In other words, Usser to marry to the shuk, right? Because she said her husband died, so she's believed. There were Edim that her husband died, but she doesn't need Edim because she said that her husband died. She only knows that the Yavam died from the testimony of the other Yavama, therefore she's not going to be able to marry the shuk. However, Vesha'ela Edim Uteres, paradoxically, the one who doesn't have Edim is going to be Mutter. Why? Because she testified that her husband died. Great, she's believed. As to the other guy, as to the Yavam, we have Edim who testified that he's dead. So the Edim testified that he's dead. Great, now she's allowed to go marry out to the Shuk, because we're not relying on the testimony of the Yavama, we're relying on the testimony of the Edim. Lezu banim v'lezu ein banim. If one of them has children, one of them doesn't have children, well then it's Pashut. Esheyesh labanim uteres, v'sheyin labanim asura. With the one that has kids is going to be mutter, because there simply is no mitzvah of yibam because she already has kids. The one who doesn't have kids is going to be usser. Tosfos is bothered. Tema lari, my kamash malan. What are you teaching us? This is fundamental. We're now on daf kuf yotes 119 of Maseches Yevamos, and now you're telling me that if one of the women had children, then she's allowed to marry out to the shuk. That's the fundamental principle of yibam, that yibam only applies when there are no kids. So says Tosfos, v'shema shminan delo asrinan ha atuha. Because I might think that because these women are sort of viewed in parallel, if we're going to say that one woman can't marry out to the shuk because she's stuck, we should make the other woman be stuck also. So says Tosfos, that's the chiddush in the Mishnah, that the one who has children is allowed to marry out to the shuk. The one who doesn't have children is not going to be allowed to marry out to the shuk again, because the only way we know that her yavam is dead is through the testimony of the yavama, and the testimony of one yavama is not going to be valid for the other yavama. Says the Mishnah, nisyavmu, let's say they performed yibam with other brothers. In other words, they were not relying on the testimony of the yavama to try to marry out into the shuk, because in addition to these two brothers, this set of brothers who died, there were two other brothers, so they just performed yibam with the other brothers. Now the question is, umesu ayavamin, and then those other brothers died. So Nebuch, their husbands died. Now the other yavamin died. So asura li nasei. So they are still usur to get married. Why? Because it still is possible, says Rashi, that the first yavam is really alive. What about the testimony? But a yavama is not believed to testify on the other yavama. So even after they already did yibam with other surviving brothers, if those surviving brothers die, they cannot marry the shuk, because we're afraid that maybe the first yavam is still alive. Rav Elazar says, come on, hold, hutru li yavam and hutru l'kol adam. No. Once we're gonna matter them to marry the Yavamim, in other words, once they already do Yibam with the surviving brothers, then if that marriage ever dissolves, we no longer have to be afraid that maybe the original Yavamim are alive, and therefore once those other brothers die, who they already perform Yibam with, at that point they're allowed to marry out into the Shuk like normal women. All right, we'll stop here and we'll pick up with the Gemara, God willing, tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.